The federal takeover of Fannie and Freddie includes an edict that they must stop lobbying. But if you've followed the two corporations over the years, you know that's like telling them to stop breathing. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
The first directives went out yesterday from corporate headquarters by email. One of them, obtained by NPR, was sent around 12:30 p.m. It basically told lobbyists to stay put for now and watch out what they say. Just a few sentences, but it could be writing the final chapter in a great saga of Washington lobbying. Fannie and Freddie's lobbying has inspired awe and envy and won whopping fine from the Federal Election Commission in 2005.
Well, the main thing was they had the resources. I mean, it was the sheer numbers as much as anything.
That's lawyer Mike House. He worked with FM Policy Focus, an industry group that argued for years that Fannie and Freddie needed stronger oversight. The resources that Mike House refers to? A combined total of more than $174 million over the past decade. That put Fannie and Freddie in the top 20 for lobbying dollars for that period, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. And another thing about Freddie and Fannie, says Mike House.
They were very strategically focused.
That meant campaign money for the right people, many Democrats and even more Republicans in the House and Senate. The campaign cash cracked the $10 million mark a while ago. In 2005, when Freddie Mac paid the Federal Election Commission a record fine of $3.8 million, the institution had set up 85 fundraisers, mainly for members of the key House Committee on Financial Services. Freddie's head lobbyist at the time called the events, quote, political risk management. Strategic focus also extended to hiring. The companies have been famous for hiring big political names. The long list includes former Clinton budget director Franklin Raines, Democratic operative Harold Ickes, as well as Republican lobbyist and fundraiser Wayne Berman and former Republican Congresswoman Susan Molinari. And then there's the not-quite-lobbying activity, Freddie and Fannie's grassroots efforts to burnish their reputations. In the housing boom a few years ago, they both went on TV with ads like this one.
Here, there's a nice Cape Cod, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths.
All across our country, families are able to find their own path to the American dream because companies like Fannie Mae and its partners...
Mike House says Fannie and Freddie's new status should be clarified.
The Treasury Department and Fannie and Freddie will actually speak for themselves now. They won't be lobbyists doing this, but it'll be the officers of the company and the Treasury Department.
But the administration isn't saying that Fannie and Freddie will stay under government control. That raises the question of whether they could revive their lobbying operations again in a few years. Anne Lee doesn't think so. She's a professor of finance at Pace University in New York.
Once the government absorbs this, it's really hard to offload it again.
And if that's the case, Washington has just seen the abrupt end of two titans of lobbying. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.